We're a charity that's been going more than 40 years now, and our basic ethos is to support and serve persecuted Christians around the world. We work in probably more than 30 countries, supporting church leaders, but especially Christian prisoners and their families. We also supply literature, Bibles, and work for justice as well.
Well, you must have a lot of work to do because the news is full of news about the situation of persecuted Christians and others around the world. I see on your front page you have a new campaign for the situation in Nigeria. Can you tell me about that?
Yes, well, the situation in Nigeria has been deteriorating over the last few months. Islamist extremists, you may have heard of a group called Boko Haram, have been carrying out attacks on various institutions in central and northern Nigeria. And caught up in all this are Christians and churches. Over the last few months, many Christians have been either killed or have lost loved ones in the violence. Just at the weekend, there was a suicide car bomb attack on a church in Jos, which is in Plateau State. Two women and one child were killed in that. So we're very concerned that the violence is increasing, really, and Christians are becoming more and more vulnerable to this. So what we're trying to do is, this month in March, is organise a month of prayer for Nigerian Christians, for the situation in that country, just that there would be an end to this violence. And as part of that, we would also ask people to write to the Nigerian authorities, just expressing their concern and urging them to do everything that they possibly can to tackle this rise of extremism in Nigeria. Some Christian leaders believe that, as happened in Sudan, there is some attempt to try and divide the country in two, into a Sharia-based northern state and then a more Christian southern state. So we would really ask people to pray that this doesn't happen and that there would be peace restored in Nigeria as a whole.
I see that there is also a click the donate button, and you mentioned that any kind of donation will in fact go in providing basic necessities for refugees and things like that.
Yes, one of the big concerns is that Christians who have obviously suffered in this violence, maybe children or people who have seen their loved ones killed in front of them, have suffered injury themselves, maybe their business or their house has been burnt down, they're now homeless, they need accommodation, but most of all they probably need prayer and trauma counselling. So one of our partners in Nigeria looks after that side of things, and there is a great need. There is a backlog for helping people with trauma counselling. So our appeal is really for funds to be able to allow that to happen so that those people who have been affected can get some treatment and help. And we know that it does make a difference, that it does restore people psychologically and spiritually.
You mentioned a partner in Nigeria. Does that mean you have partners in various spots around the world where people are coping with this kind of problem?
What we do is we work generally through partners on the ground in these countries because, A, they know what the situation is like. They know the best way of getting aid and funds to those who most need it. So that's what we tend to do. In Nigeria, they're very much based in the local community. Part of the society, they know exactly what's going on and how to make sure that those who really need the support get it.
Also on your webpage, I notice your interest is very wide-ranging across the globe, and I see a particular campaign delivered to the North Korean embassy. Is that another area in which you have a particular concern?
We are very concerned about the situation in North Korea. Last year, we ran a campaign really calling for religious freedom in North Korea. North Korea is known as the Hermit Kingdom, and it's quite well sealed off from the rest of the world. But we're very concerned, really, about the situation for Christians in that country. Many are in what are, in effect, concentration camps, and life is incredibly difficult. Christians can be arrested just for owning a Bible, or if a member of their family is a Christian, then up to three generations of that family can be imprisoned. It doesn't always happen, but it has happened. And we know that Christians are under that pressure, as well as the pressure that the whole of North Korean society faces, living under a dictatorship. And obviously, at the moment, there's a real food crisis as well. Lots of people are starving. So from that point of view, that country is in a very difficult situation. But our campaign last year, which culminated in January when we handed in a petition of just over 50,000 names to the North Korean embassy in London calling for religious freedom, we hope that that will speak to the authorities and actually help to bring about change. We also handed in a copy to Downing Street, and really we want to urge the British government to, whenever it can, to really press for change in North Korea. We believe that that can happen, and we would urge countries throughout the world who have an influence there to, whenever they can, is to bring up the issue of human rights in North Korea.
Do you find that the British government in this case is actually sensitive to your requests?
I certainly hope so. We know that they are concerned about human rights, and that human rights is an issue that is brought up when dealing with authorities from other countries. So we feel that is an issue, that, you know, we often hear William Hague or David Cameron talking about human rights in relation to how another country operates, in and also in terms of giving aid to those countries. The whole issue of human rights is on the agenda. So we do urge them really to take seriously what happens to Christians, not just in North Korea, but around the world. Christians are often being oppressed, and yet their rights are never really brought onto the agenda. So what we would say, look, you know, they're human beings as well. They have human rights. You know, if you're concerned about human rights, then put this on the agenda when you're dealing with countries such as North Korea. Obviously, North Korea is quite unusual, being a sort of sealed dictatorship. But, you know, situations can change very quickly. And so where there is an opportunity, please take advantage of that and press for human rights for Christians.
Well, I think the death of Kim Jong-il recently really opened a window on what life is like in North Korea. And I think a lot of people were suddenly jolted into the realization that that kind of situation does still exist in 2012.
Yeah, it's. I think because it's on the other side of the world, we tend to overlook it. And it's a small nation, and we sort of tend to dismiss it as being a bit of a tin pot dictatorship. But for people who are actually living there, it's a horrendous life, and it has been for a long, long time. I believe that the army in North Korea has actually lowered the height levels for people entering the military, so that it's come down now. Because of the malnutrition, of course, North Koreans are not very tall. And so in order to get enough people into the army, they're having to lower the height levels. So it just shows, really, the impact that is having over the years.
Another area that is in the spotlight is Pakistan, of course. Is Pakistan in your range as well?
Yes, we have partners in Pakistan who look after Christians in that country. Pakistan is unusual in that there are, if you like, two areas of concern. Firstly, Christians who are from a Christian community, they can often come under pressure. Obviously, you mentioned Shahbaz Bharti's assassination, and also Salman Taseer was killed as well because he stood up for the rights of a Christian, Aisha Bibi, who has been convicted of blasphemy and actually has been sentenced to death for it. There is that Christian community that comes under pressure from time to time, but also significantly for those who want to change their religion from Islam to Christianity. They often find life very, very difficult, and they need a lot of support. So we would hope, and we've campaigned before, for there to be a change in the blasphemy laws in Pakistan. It's not just Christians who are affected by that. Muslims are, in fact, more Muslims are, but proportionately there are more Christians who are being charged under the blasphemy laws. So it does affect them to a greater extent. And it's often used to settle personal grievances, business problems. So it actually has nothing really to do with blasphemy, but it's used as a way of getting at Christians. So we hope and we pray and we urge the Pakistan authorities as well to repeal the blasphemy laws and actually to protect the minorities, because that's a significant problem, really. Our partners who work in that country are continually having to support people who are from the Christian community mainly, who are being accused of blasphemy. So they need help. They need to know that people are supporting them, but also that where influence is brought to bear, it will have some good, that countries such as the UK will actually raise this with Pakistan, as we've talked about with North Korea.
On a positive note, Matt, it seems to me that persecution of people of other faiths goes back a long, long time. But suddenly there is a lot more talk about it. The Pope himself, at the beginning of the year, during his State of the World address, it specifically spoke of the need for religious freedom. Do you find there is a changing attitude or an increasing awareness?
I think there is an increasing awareness of persecution of Christians, but I tend to fear that that is actually just among the Christian community, that the world itself is not really that concerned, given that there are so many problems throughout the world at the moment. It's probably not high on most people's agenda. But I think it is significant, and I think it needs to be raised by Christians wherever we can. Obviously, you mentioned the Pope's address. And other Christian leaders as well need to speak up to make the world aware of what is going on. You know, Jesus said that they persecuted him and they will persecute us. So in a sense, we're not surprised. And it's not as though it should take us by surprise. But I think it's really within our responsibility to actually to serve and to help those who are being persecuted, to stand with them, to do everything that we possibly can to improve their situations, to just strengthen them as they're going through persecution. I think that's one of the things that at Release we feel very strongly about, is that we want the Christian community in the UK and Ireland to engage with this issue seriously and to support their brothers and sisters in Christ. So we shouldn't be surprised that it's happening. I hope and I pray that the issue does become more mainstream, if you like. There does seem to be more interest in it, but it's usually when there's some major event. There's a massacre in Nigeria, a Pakistani politician is assassinated, something like that. But then often the whole issue gets just put to the side, and that's a real shame. So I think wherever we can, as Christians, we need to pray and we need to raise the issue as much as we can.
You're absolutely right. There are millions of people across the world who every day of their lives have to face difficulty because of their different view of life and of religion. Can I ask you about Release International? You are a Christian organization. Are you ecumenical? Who exactly founded Release?
Release was founded in 1968 by a Romanian pastor called Richard Wurmbrand, who was imprisoned under the communists in the 1950s and 60s. He actually died in 2001, but he spent a total of 14 years in prison, three of which were in solitary confinement. And when he came out of Romania, he traveled the world and basically set up organizations such as Release to really make the world aware of the plight of Christians, in this case in the communist world, but obviously that has changed over the years, as well as setting up these ministries, if you like, around the world. He also testified before the US Senate about what had happened to him. And so it was a case of, and still we try to highlight the whole issue of persecution of Christians. That is still, it's changed, but it's changed from country to country, but it's still a huge issue. But as well as informing the world, if you like, we're also there to support those people who are being persecuted because of their faith. We have various sister ministries around the world, so it's not just us based in the UK, but we our supporter bases in the UK and Ireland.
Are you ecumenical? Can anyone join?
Anybody can join us. Yes, that's fine. We have supporters from different denominations. We're faith based, and we have support from churches up and down the UK and Ireland. So yes, I mean, if anybody is interested in the work that we do and wants to be involved, we're more than happy to hear from anybody.
Is there anything you would like to add to that?
Just to say, I think that the whole issue of persecution is one that the church in the Western world really needs to get a grasp of, that we tend to only respond to it when it affects us personally or comes to our country. And we see discrimination in Western countries. We see discrimination against Christians, perhaps, in the UK. But we don't really see that sort of persecution that you get in other countries. And I think if we don't actually address these issues personally and as churches, as Christians in the West, you know, one day this issue will land on our doorstep and we will be overtaken by it. And I think we need to be prepared. And I think part of preparing for that is actually supporting Christian brothers and sisters who are going through that at the moment. We can learn an awful lot from their experiences that will actually stand us in good stead for the future. So as well as supporting them financially and in prayer, they provide us with huge examples of faith and examples of God working miraculously in their lives. And so where there is great Christian witness, if you like, there is also persecution. And I think if we see, and I hope we do see, a great increase in sort of Christianity in the UK, I think at the same time we will see greater persecution. And I think we need to be ready for that. And by engaging with the issues now, we'll be better prepared.